Well, we're not too far away from that time of year when we all give thanks. Next week, we're going to talk turkey and all the trimmings, of course. But today, our focus is about the giving part. What does it take for you to give to charity?
Laura, I'm calling from Lafayette, California. And what matters most to me is that when I give money, that the money I give goes to the people that the charity is supposed to be helping and isn't sucked up by salaries or administrative costs.
And Laura's point there about getting money to those who need it most will resonate to anyone who's ever shelled out for one of those charity records. You know, We Are the World, Do They Know It's Christmas? The list is long of those records, and we're going to have more on those charity songs in just a minute. But you might have heard that 30 years after the original and extremely successful Band-Aid movement in the UK, a supergroup has reformed, this time to help raise money to fight Ebola in West Africa. But its founder, Bob Geldof, is mad. Geldof says it's not enough for rock stars to raise money. He's calling out a number of global powers, governments, for not doing enough.
Let's look at Germany. They're number 8 in the queue. Why? They're the economic powerhouse of Europe. In fact, the Germans spent more on one football stadium for their World Cup than they're spending on people dying of Ebola. The Emirates, you know, where are they? $1 million from these massively rich oil countries? No, it's not good enough.
That's Sir Bob Geldof speaking to Sky News in the UK. So who stepped up in the fight against Ebola and who hasn't? Top of the list is the United States. So far, we've spent more than $84 million to fight Ebola and have committed even more. Only the World Bank has given more so far. Behind the United States is Canada, which has given $51 million. And only further down the list do you find countries like Germany, which is number 8, as Bob Geldof noted there. China soon will be the world's biggest economy. It's ranked 14th in the donation rankings. And when it comes to Ebola, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and his wife together have donated more money than the entire country of Australia. So you're not Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg, but what's your criteria for giving? What makes you want to be generous? Call us at 8778-MYTAKE or find us on Twitter at The Takeaway. That's all one word, at The Takeaway. There's one of the songs that's playing everywhere you go this Christmas. That's a remake of the 1984 hit Do They Know It's Christmas? Celebrities and pop bands, and of course the guy who played Pink Floyd in The Wall, the Shaven Lunatic, all banding together to sing for the less fortunate. It's a tested tradition of England and the United States, and it's certainly nothing new.
We are the world. We are the world. We are the children. Hands across America. Yeah, you gotta say I.
So the new version of Do They Know It's Christmas is focused on Ebola. It's currently number 2 on the iTunes charts and was originally performed by Bob Geldof's supergroup Band-Aid. And the song became the fastest selling all-time hit in the UK. Of course, that's when albums actually sold, when they were a thing. Laurie Majewski's been covering Band-Aid 30 for Rolling Stone. She's also interviewed several of the original Band-Aid members. She's the author of the book Mad World, An Oral History of the New Wave Artists and Songs That Define the 80s. Hi, Laurie.
Hello.
Well, take us back to 1984. I could do it because, boy, do I remember what a big deal Band-Aid was.
Oh, it was a seminal moment for me. It was a time that, yes, I loved Duran Duran with all my heart, but suddenly I found out about all these new groups, Ultravox, because, of course, Midge is Bob Geldof's partner in crime on this, and, you know, Big Country and Bananarama. But I also learned how to care from that record. I mean, you have to remember, millennials today, they know about this stuff, that volunteerism is huge in schools. For us back then, we learned that buying a record can save a life.
So this spawned lots and lots of copycats. USA for Africa was one. Farm Aid, of course, which still goes on today, I think is still pretty successful, right?
Every year. It's an annual concert.
And this became a genre that spanned lots of different causes, lots of different genres for music. I have to say, some of the efforts, I'm sorry to say, were terrible. Listen.
The sky, so serene, has felt the kiss of countless dreams. And this earth that smells so sweet cradles us all.
right now. We all remember Hands Across America.
I was out there on the line in New Jersey holding hands.
Were you?
I heard there were some breaks in the desert, but otherwise we really did do that human chain. And yes, the record was pretty terrible, probably because it was session singers and a few guys from Toto, if I remember.
Yeah.
But in general, it did that effort raised $34 million. So,
what was
it was
the cause,
successful.
Though? I don't remember.
I think it was homelessness and the less fortunate here in this country because, of course, USA for Africa, that was giving money to Africa along with Band-Aid, which was for the whole Ethiopian famine aid relief efforts.
Right.
And you have to remember how seminal this was because the early 80s, it was a big party. Right? I mean, you had all those escapist videos, the MTV era, men in makeup, and suddenly Bob Geldof comes around and he says, you know what, guys, I'm going to get you all into the studio and we're going to sing for a cause. They came in that day, those artists, they weren't paid. You know, the labels weren't paid. Even Trevor Horn from the Buggles gave the studio up for free.
Video killed the radio star. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's something they learned from, you know, they hadn't had a concert, they hadn't had a charity like this with rock stars involved since the Concert for Bangladesh, which was George Harrison's big fundraising effort back in 1971. So fast forward to 1984, when George heard that Bob was going to do this, he actually got Bob on the phone and said, you know what, I'm going to teach you all the things that you need to know, all the mistakes we made from the Concert with Bangladesh, because it was kind of a financial mess. Labels were like saying, wait a minute, we need our cut. Well, in the case of Band-Aid and in some of the ones to follow, what was amazing was that the record labels and the business said, you know what? We're going to funnel this money to where it's supposed to go. It was pretty amazing.
They really got on board. Now, Band-Aid spawned Live Aid. There were a couple of concerts. One was in Philadelphia, of course, giant events at the time. But times have changed, Lori Majewski. Records used to sell. You can get a lot of downloads on iTunes, but everybody knows that downloads are not the moneymaker that they used to be. So is this type of effort able to make the kind of money that it used to make, even if people love One Direction and can't get enough?
You know, that's a good question, because I remember when I first heard about this, I thought, oh gosh, how are they going to be able to match the fervor that Band-Aid was? I mean, butchers in the UK were putting the record up for sale in their windows. It sold, Midgeridge and Bob Geldof had wanted to raise a couple £100,000. To date, they've raised $190 million.
Wow.
So that's a big deal. But how can they do it today? First of all, they've gone out there and they've said, hashtag buy the single.
Mm-hmm.
And One Direction has, getting them on board was genius. They have so much clout, so much power. One Direction, just this past summer, they had a Prizio charity fundraising campaign online where they asked their fans to give $3 each to stand up for cancer. In a few weeks, they raised $341 million. So that's One Direction. That's the power of them. Not only are they selling T-shirts and lunchboxes, but mm-hmm. they can tell their fans to go out there and support this cause. And within 4 minutes of Band-Aid, the song Band-Aid 30, debuting the other day, they raised over £1 million in downloads. That was just pre-orders.
So Bob Geldof and Band-Aid are still kind of doing it right. Is there anyone around today that's kind of trying to do this, but not? Let's get their heads above water here. Let's get them on the radar screen. Anyone?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about today is you need a great hairstylist, you need a great wardrobe stylist. You also need a great charity. Whether you are authentic about it or not, it's a look. I mean, millennials, that's kind of their thing, right? So when I look at One Direction, I actually have worked with them on a couple of things, and I know that they have charity in their hearts. But even if they didn't, it's a good look for them. And I think artists today know that.
Well, you know, Lori Majewski, I have to say before we let you go, I liked Band-Aid. I liked Hands Across America. I didn't like the song, but I liked all the stars involved with it. This is mostly my older sister was the influence on me. I remember liking Adamant. I liked Duran Duran. But I'll tell you what, I was always thrilled that Devo was never part of any of this stuff. They weren't invited, and they probably wouldn't have joined if they had been.
But they are in my book, and they are subversive, and they wouldn't be a part of this kind of thing. And, you know, maybe that's what Adele was doing when she said, I'm not going to show up. But she did give a donation, so we can't really put her down.
Say what you want about One Direction. Say what you want about Reprise Records and Band-Aid. £1 million in the first hour on downloads for the new version of Band-Aid benefiting the victims of Ebola in West Africa. Lori Majewski has been covering Band-Aid 30 for Rolling Stone, and she's the author of Mad World and Oral History of the New Wave Artists and the Songs That Defined the 80s. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.